Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. Today's show is about a new year, a new you, taking command of your fitness program. And joining me to talk about this is the Mojo Coach herself, Debbie Silva. Debbie is a registered dietitian with a master's degree in nutrition, a personal trainer, whole health coach, lifestyle expert just for moms, a speaker, and the president of Lifestyle Fitness, Inc. She is also the author of The Lifestyle Fitness Program, a six-part plan so every mom can look, feel, and live her best, which is recommended by Parenting Magazine and From Mom to Wow, Your Ultimate Body, Mind, and Life Makeover Guide. She also has two certifications in pre- and postnatal fitness with specialty recognition in both weight loss and maintenance. Good morning, Debbie. Happy New Year to you, and welcome back to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you?
Oh, thanks for having me, Johnny. Welcome. Yeah, it's great to be here. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you. And let's get started about talking about your life's journey. Mm-hmm. Please walk us through from your life from childhood to the present moment.
Wow, well, that's a lot of years. I'm not going to tell you how many, though. Well, you know, it's interesting because we, you know that saying, when the student's ready, the teacher appears? It seems that this student wasn't ready till way later on in my life. But, you know, now looking back, every single thing that happened just always happens for such a reason. You know, it's the kind of thing where I really wasn't taught so many of the things that I'm learning now. So I really am such a newbie in so many areas. Even little things like I've actually taught myself to be positive and to be optimistic and to be giving and to be, I mean, these were things, you know, I really wasn't brought up to express these feelings and to feel these feelings. So a lot of the way I live now, actually most of the way I live now, really had very little to do with my childhood. And you know, it's interesting, you also learn the most from the people who hurt you the most. So if you can take those life lessons and do something constructive with it, that will just propel you towards learning what you need to learn in life. So I'd love to say I just sort of am a product of everything that I learned and I'm just, you know, keeping going with what I learned. But I'm a product in a different way. I sort of am redoing a lot of things. So in that way, it's truly a gift. My past, looking back now, was truly an incredible learning gift for me. And my kids and my husband, everyone benefits from it now. So that's a good thing.
Great. Yeah, fantastic. Well, I mean, I think sometimes we forget that we are sum total of the things that we are, who we were before. Mm. And it's how you take that, all whether it's good and bad and ugly, I guess, in a way, and all that's beautiful, and put it all together, and that's who you are today. And this new year, in all actuality, it's about initially taking assessment of yourself, what you have gone through last year, and taking that assessment and looking at, you know, hey, do I want to stay the same? Do I want to do something different? Or where am I heading to?
That's so true, and I think so many of us, though, we get so stuck, and we just, you know, we're so quick to say, well, this is how I am, and this is, you know, this is my personality, and this is, you know, this is how I feel about this, and this is the way I react when this happens, and we don't realize how much power and how much control we have over that, and it's so funny, because in working with women for nearly 20 years now, they'll take more pains to pick out an outfit than to change characteristics of their personality that aren't working for them. And we just assume what we see is what we get, but what we see is really what we create. And we can always recreate something. If it doesn't work, that's the perfect reason to change it. And we can do that. We can, in every thought we think, in every choice we make, in every way we act and react, we can change whatever it is that we don't like about ourselves and whatever isn't working.
And it's all about putting what our thought process to actions too, because we can always just sit down and plan all these things, and nothing happens unless you execute the programs that you want to get done. And so I guess that, you know, brings me to, you know, like, how were you known as a mojo coach?
Well, and I'll tell you, but all that we can have the best plan in the world, but here's where I see so many people falling short too. While they may have this plan, underneath it all, they truly don't believe they can achieve it. And what happens is, the best plan in the world, if you don't think, if like let's say dealing with something like, let's say, weight loss, if you can't picture yourself as that, you know, thin, fit, strong, healthy person, no matter what, you know, this plan is going to be, you're going to find a way to sabotage yourself or something's going to happen because deep down you just don't feel worthy of it or deserving of it or you can't really feel it and picture yourself there. And so, you know, in creating this plan, and I know we're going to get to that, in creating this plan, one of the things you really want to implement as much as how will you go about this is actually envisioning that it can be true. You know, it's sort of like when you go on a vacation, you know, when think about it, you decide on your destination, and then from there, you know what to pack, you know what to plan, you know what you need, you think about it, you get excited about that trip. But it would be a totally different vacation. Like, let's say you choose Hawaii. Okay, so you're packing your sunscreen, your hat, maybe a great book, you're picturing yourself on the sand, you know, at the beach, and you're gearing yourself up for it that way, and then you can plan this strategic way to get there and how it can happen. But, you know, on the other hand, let's say you're planning a ski trip to Colorado, you can get just as excited about that trip, but totally different plan.
Right.
What we do, and what I see, you know, women doing all the time is, we say, oh, I want to lose weight. Well, it's almost like heading to the airport with absolutely no game plan at all.
Right.
You haven't packed. You don't know what you want. You don't know what you bring. So you have a much greater likelihood of getting there if you can actually envision yourself there. So, you know, just that's such an important part of it. But as far as the Mojo Coach, you know, how I became known as the Mojo Coach, it's interesting because for years I was a dietitian and trainer working with moms, and things were going well. They were losing weight. They were becoming fit. But something was missing. And I noticed this with me, too. I was just getting so sick all the time. Like it started with bursitis in my shoulders, and I was having trouble lifting my kids and lifting even packages, groceries, things like that. So I had to have a shot of cortisone in my shoulder to manage the pain. And soon after that, I noticed I was getting sick all the time. You know, whatever the kids would bring home from school, you know, whatever the current virus was, you know, I would get, or upper respiratory infections. You know, I was just constantly sick. Then I was having back problems. And it got so bad at one point that I couldn't turn my head to look over my shoulder. I almost had to stop driving. Went to the doctor. I had two herniated discs and degenerative disc disease. I had worn away the cartilage that cushions the discs, and they were pressing directly on the nerve. So it was this. I was in this horrific pain all the time. I started gaining weight. My skin started breaking out. I started losing my hair. And you know, and you just, as a busy mom, you start thinking, oh, well, this is just the, you know, the way it is, and who's got time to figure it out? And then it got really weird because then I developed severe arthritis in my feet. You know, from the outside they looked fine, but on the inside, x-rays showed that I had done the same thing. I had worn away all my cartilage. So for 2 years, every 3 months, I had to have cortisone shots in both feet just to walk and really to manage the pain. And, you know, every doctor said that it was probably from my years of running because I had always been a runner. But, you know, when something just doesn't sit right, you know, here I'm thinking, I said, why is it that some people can run into their, you know, if they're healthy, into their 70s, and here I could barely walk before my 40th birthday? You know, something just clearly wasn't working. So I opted on this surgery because I just needed relief, but I timed it. So while I healed, because it was cast crutches, couldn't, you know, drive for 3 months, I studied to become a whole health coach, which is a health expert trained to teach you how your lifestyle creates health or wellness or illness and disease. And while I was going through that program, sure enough, Johnny, I found myself on every single page. Every single symptom, illness, condition, disease I had could be directly related to the stress I was under, the lifestyle I was leading, this emotional chaos and overwhelm. So I sort of did this personal experiment on myself, and I changed everything. And as I did, every single thing healed. And I really went from complete, you know, pain to pain-free living, complete illness to health, and complete misery to joy. I got my mojo back, started working with my clients. They got their mojo back, you know, branded me the Mojo Coach, and boom.
How long was that transition happened in terms of, you know, you being able to rebound back? Obviously, you know, you were pretty much all, for lack of a better term, you all doped up
mm-hmm.
to stay, you know, to be mobilized, basically. And then you realize that you're going through all this whole scenario, and then you realize that, you know, you just need to kind of take command of yourself. And so basically detoxifying your body and go back the natural way. How long did it take you to?
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't just detoxifying my body. It was detoxifying my mind. It was, you know, one of the biggest things was really cutting the ties of those toxic relationships. We don't realize how damaging some of this stuff is. You know, because people say something enough times, and if we don't feel confident enough, or, you know, our self-esteem is low, we start believing it, and we don't realize that these people are saying these things because it's, you know, they're having an issue with their own self-esteem, and the only way they feel better is by putting us down.
They're transferring it to you, basically.
Well, that's it. And if we don't know that and we don't recognize that, we believe it. And so I had, you know, a lot of that. And just even here I was, you know, I had this thriving practice and a husband and a home and four kids and four dogs and this whole superwoman thing, like I have to do everything and do it all well. It was just this tremendous pressure. So it was really a process of, you know, it took a while. It took, I'd say, a couple of years altogether, but immediately, I mean, I saw such changes as I made each change. Like I cut those toxic relationships, and if I tell you, I mean, really within a short amount of time, I felt lighter and freer, and then I cut back on my schedule. You know, some of these things that I think as moms we feel we have to do and we should do, and it's based on what we see everyone else doing. It has nothing to do with our values. It just has to do with what everyone else is doing. And then I noticed, you know, my hair started growing back, and I lost weight, and my skin healed, and, you know, and then I would be more positive and optimistic and could really change my thinking and teach myself how, you know, there are two ways to look at everything. And I taught myself just to look at things from a different perspective. My back healed, you know, and then I started feeling better. And then soon after that, I was taking more chances and having more fun. And soon enough, I was able to walk, run, get back into my heels. You know, so it was really this, as each change was made, and as, you know, I made changes to my lifestyle, these different health, you know, ailments and conditions and even diseases that I had completely reversed themselves. And it was so empowering because I realized how much control we have over our health and our wellness. So when I started working with my clients, you know, so often we hand over our power. We say, you know, help me, fix me, heal me. We go to each, you know, a doctor or a specialist or a guru. And you know, what I do is I hand it right, you know, they hand it over to me, I hand it right back. Because true healing comes from really taking responsibility for your life.
Right, from within. Well, it's taking command, because it sounds to me like we have a choice here. We always have this thing about outsourcing it.
Right.
You can't do that because it's a personal self. So you can seek knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately the execution is within yourself, and so taking command, taking charge of your fitness program, and that's what it sounds to me like. You know, you went inwards and realized that, you know, hey, guess what? Even my husband can't change me.
Right.
I have to change myself and do the things that that's required to make that paradigm, personal paradigm shift, basically.
It's so true. And what's also so empowering is as you make each one of these changes that truly come from just your own understanding that you have control over your choices, your thoughts, your emotions, your behaviors, your actions. When you do that and when it works, it's such an empowering feeling, and it builds such confidence. So with so many of us, if our self-esteem is just slammed, you know, we've been through something traumatic, or we've had these, you know, years and years of just not feeling great about ourselves for whatever reason, taking that control is such a way to really to heal. And also what happens is, see, here's where it's not just an emotional thing. Here's where it translates to a physical thing. Because when we're living in such fear and when we're so stressed and when we're so overwhelmed, your body thinks you're in trouble. You know, we know the fight or flight response, right, where a car's coming at you and, you know, it's a reaction. You just jump the curb to safety. Your body kicks in. You know, you release this flood of these stress hormones, you know, and more blood and oxygen into the heart and lungs and the surge of adrenaline and, you know, and you're able to be safe. Well, that's how the body was built to survive. And your body will do everything it can to keep you, you know, keep you safe. But what happens with chronic stress, where you're feeling the stress and overwhelm all the time, is this system is ignited, but it's not turned off. So the same system that's supposed to protect you over the short term is causing huge wear and tear. And that's why I realized I was, let's say, you know, getting sick all the time. One of the things that this stress response will do is suppress your immune system. You know, your immune system is it's like an internal army. You know, when that army is strong, it keeps invaders out. When it's weak, when it's weakened, it's like that army's fast asleep. Invaders get through.
Right.
So that's what that stress does on a physical level. That's just one thing.
It's very true, because what happens is that it's like everything else. If you do excess in one area, we live in a closed system, so
mm-hmm.
if you have excess in one area, you're taking everything out from the other side of the equation.
Right.
And so what you're saying is that ultimately you have to live that balanced life. Situational would dictate psychologically how you would react and physically how you would react to certain things. And our goal is to sort of take care of this body temple, to kind of keep it towards the middle, because there are times, like you say, you built muscle. Why do you need muscle? Well, occasionally you're going to have to use it to lift. And you have to be flexible. Why? Because occasionally you do have to kind of stretch beyond the normal limits of your reach sometimes to get certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you use it all the time? No.
Right,
but
right.
It's there, and it's ever ready, so to speak, because the situation would dictate you, you know, to do that. So that's quite interesting. But in your lifestyle fitness program, you talk about a 6-part plan,
mm-hmm.
So every mom can look, feel, and live her best.
Mm-hmm.
What is the plan? What is the 6th plan?
Well, I'll tell you. See, and it's so interesting because you just said how we'll work on, let's say, one thing and not the other. Now, here I thought, as a dietitian with a master's in nutrition and a trainer, I thought, well, you know, this will be great if I just work with my clients and myself on healthy eating and exercise. Well, that's all we need.
Right.
And here, you know, I'm the supposed expert saying, okay, eat well and exercise will all be great. And I could not be more wrong, because even though here I was doing all of that, I was exercising, I was eating well, I was a mess. And I realized that you know, even with healthy eating and exercise, which are huge steps in the right direction, so many of us aren't even eating healthy or aren't exercising. But here I was doing both of those and still a mess. And I realized that, yes, those are two very important components, but it's not everything. And going through, you know, my own illness, I realized that, yes, there are 6. So the 6 areas are nutrition/weight loss, fitness, stress control, emotional health, relationship wellness, and spirituality. You know, and the easiest way of getting a picture of this is, because I love visuals, picture a jug, you know, regular jug, and fill it up with water. And, you know, let's say you puncture 6 holes in that jug. That jug's going to leak. And we may plug up one of those holes, and we'll, you know, let's call that fitness. And then maybe we plug up another one of those holes, and we'll call that healthy eating and nutrition. But there are 4 holes still in that jug, and it's still going to leak, and it still won't be strong. When all 6 of those holes are plugged up, that's when that jug is strong. And just like us, that's when we look, feel, and live our best from the, you know, and that's when we're fit, healthy, and happy from the inside out. When we work all 6 of those areas, one really being no more important than another.
Very interesting. The theme for our show is a new year, a new you. What is your recommendation for individuals who are interested in a new year, a new me?
You know, I'd say the first thing, you really need to take a look at last year. And so often, you know, you hear, oh, don't look back and just go forward. You want to look back. And the reason is you always want to be learning, growing, evolving, changing. And by looking back at last year, it's such a great way to say, hey, what worked? You know, what didn't work? What can I do differently? What do I want now? So what you want to do is the first step, take a look at how last year went. From there, you know, you want to come up with all those questions. What do I want now? How would I like to see my life improve? Out of those six areas, let's say that I mentioned, what do you want to see change in your fitness, in your eating, in your level of stress, in your emotional health, in your relationships, and in your spirituality? And once you know what you want from all six of those areas, well, then from there, you want to say, what would that change look like? What does that look like for me? Let's say I want to change my eating. What does that mean to me? And it's not saying, well, I want to just lose, you know, 30 pounds. Well, that's great. But what does that look like on a day-to-day basis? Because we need to break it down. You know, we have these grand visions, but it needs to be, you know, we're living it out on a day-to-day. So it's how can I make that happen? Let's say with our fitness, you know, I want to be fit. Okay, well, what does that look like on a day-to-day? Does that mean wake up early and exercise? Does it mean bring the gym bag to work with you? Does it mean stopping off at the gym on, you know, before you come home? What does that look like? And then from there, and this is what people avoid too. We're so afraid to look at the obstacles because they bring us down. The reason why you want to look at those obstacles is you want to see them and you want to take them, you know, head on. And the reason is this way you can come up with a strategy, because these obstacles will come up. But if you have a strategy in place, and if you've sort of looked around the corner and see what's there, you know, to see what's there, you can come up with a strategy. So when that obstacle comes up, and it will, you know what to do about it. So let's just say, take our example about healthier eating. So how does that healthier eating look like on a day-to-day? And then what's an obstacle? Well, maybe you have a food pusher in your life. You know, we all have these. You know, oh, what's one going to do? You know, these people these food buddies or whatever. How are you going to handle that person? What are you going to say? How are you, you know, let's say you're an emotional eater. Let's say you're a mindless eater. Let's say you're a social eater. Whatever the issue is, you want to come up with situations that would typically sabotage you and come up with ways of handling each one. And it's a plan. And this way, when that situation arises, and it will, then you just take out your plan and you just use it.
Very interesting. And, you know, I get caught myself personally. Okay, I got my gym back, I got all this stuff, and then when I show up for work and then I get sidetracked because, oh my gosh, I can't leave now, I got a lot of things to do, and so it's very difficult, very, very difficult to stay on track because, well, where do I draw the line, you know, and maybe I lack the willpower, so to speak. Any thoughts about that under those kinds of circumstances?
Certainly, a couple of thoughts. First of all, the time will never, you know, when we say, oh, you know, I'll take the time. We need to make the time. That time needs to be carved out. It will never just appear because there are so many other things that we do within our day. So our fitness, just like anything that you really want to do, needs to be a priority. Typically, it's the easiest if you do it in the morning. And this is just for many people, only because throughout the day, more things can creep up. Usually earlier in the day, your time is more your own. So, you know, if you waited, you know, let's say you put fitness at the end of your day and then things come up, that'll get bumped off your list because you haven't made it such a priority. Whereas earlier in the day, you don't have as many things vying for your time. So if that's an option, that's a way to go. And even putting, you know, and this works with so many of the women that I work with, and I see it with the morning routine, they'll get the kids off to school, and then they'll go get dressed maybe in their gym clothes. And I say, do it in reverse. You wake up, put those gym clothes on, and then get the kids ready and do what you need to do. It sort of mentally prepares you so that once they go, you're ready. And then it's your time. If that's not an option, let's say you have to head out to work or whatever, have that gym bag packed, have it ready to go. You want to make it as easy for yourself as possible. But like anything, if it's a priority, it'll happen. And typically when it doesn't happen, it's because it's just not a priority. It's a habit that it isn't a priority. And if you make it a priority and then do that enough where it becomes a habit, it's much easier.
So basically what I'm hearing is that it is it's a lifestyle change, number one. And number two, it's your level of commitment because, you know, you have great thoughts, great ideas. But ultimately, the mind is having, you know, control, taking charge of your mind, and that's part of that six plan of actions you're talking about, because it's just not so much about buying the weight or signing up for a club or anything like that. The mind has to be strong enough and saying that, you know, wait a minute now, you know, this is what I've committed to. So that comes from the mental side of the equation then, I guess.
Well, you know what, that would be something like, let's say in the Lifestyle Fitness Program, the emotional fitness section, where it's,
right.
You know, you may be looking at it and saying, what's the difference? It's not going to make a difference anyway, you know. And we have these negative thoughts that play in our head. I call it the inner bully, you know, and where it's our thoughts take over where someone else is left off. And we have this negative tape loop that plays in our head all the time. And it's so self-sabotaging, because maybe you did have intentions of creating your fitness plan and sticking with it and that sort of thing, but then you have this tape loop that's, well, you know you're not going to do it anyway. Well, you know, that's not that important. And you have all of these thoughts that really talk you out of it. So there it may be a question of, we need to work on your emotional health here. You know, reframe your thinking,
right.
Because, you know, and the way that works is, if you picture a snowstorm, let's just say, and it snows on the ground and everything's, you know, fair game, and let's say you pave a path for yourself and you walk on that path day after day, and it is just well-worn and easy to walk on. And then let's say you were to veer off that path. Well, it would be tricky at first, but if you stayed on that new path and you walked on that new path day after day after day, eventually it would be as easy and simple and well-worn as the first. This is how our thoughts work. We're so used to the negative thought patterns that we play in our heads, and we replay them over and over, and it's easy and it's brainless. Well, you know, if you change those thought patterns, sure, yes, it will be tricky at first, no doubt, because it's not what you're used to. But if you do that and you stick with it day after day after day, it will be as simple, easy, and natural as the old thought patterns. But these will lead you to a much better place.
It sounds to me you just gave me some mental ways of taking control of, you know, the emotional side of the equation here about exercising and everything else.
You can't have one without the other. That's why I said there are six areas, and we do. We neglect completely. We'll just cut them right off the list. Forget about our emotional health, or forget about our relationships or our level of stress. You truly can't have true health and fitness and wellness without all six in place. It just won't work.
Right, because fitness is not about just lifting weights and running on the treadmill. It's a combination of everything else. I mean, to have the complete balance, where you do have to have the emotional, mental fitness to actually support the physical side of yourself.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and here I was, like I said before, I mean, I was an example of it. I was working out. I was doing everything, you know, the books say to do, and I was in so much physical pain, and mentally I was, and emotionally, I was a mess. And when you work on all of those areas, your fitness just comes so much easier, because your whole physical, mental, emotional place is just coming from such a better foundation to start with. So it's just so many better things can grow and evolve from a healthier place.
Well, I gather that, you know, you have external and internal fitness.
Mm-hmm.
The external side is literally lifting the dumbbells,
mm-hmm.
or the barbells, or you know, or whatever that is out there for you to do, or running on a treadmill and everything else, or the Stairmasters.
Mm-hmm.
The internal fitness, that's where the mind comes in, the emotions comes in, because that is actually, by far, in all actuality, is far more powerful.
So much more powerful. And I'll tell you, your body is a billboard telling the world what's going on inside. So if your body isn't looking its best, isn't representing a healthy, well you, it's going to show. And it's going to show in things as obvious as a weight issue, to skin issues, to hair issues, to just even your breath. I mean, everything. So anything external is just an external visual of what's going on internally.
Right. So the drive has to come from the internal side, because that gives you the balance and actually, in all actuality, is the energy that helps you to execute the external side.
Oh, yeah, Absolutely. And for those exercisers, you know, who are out there, you know, on those days where you're just feeling better, your whatever it is, your walk, let's just say, isn't nearly as torturous. That's where it becomes enjoyable. That's where you look forward to it. That's where you find, you know, relief, and it relieves your stress, and it does all these healthy, positive, wonderful things. On the days where you're just not in that healthy mental place, emotional place, that's where you dread it. So much of it is driven by our levels of stress, by our emotional health, by what's going on inside. Absolutely. It'll make or break your workouts for sure.
Oh, I see. Well, let's talk about food. Are there any special magic diet that someone can go on?
You know what? If there is, let me know about it. You know, it's interesting because over the last almost 20 years, I have seen people ask, and I encourage them. I say, go on, go ahead. Are you done with all of those other diets? Are you really, truly done? Because not one of them works. They're all a Band-Aid. Unless you change the behaviors that got you into that mess in the first place, all you're going to do is eventually go back to what you know and gain the weight right back. So, you know, diet, just the word itself means deprivation. That means you can't have it. That means, you know, it's something that is not for you. And what happens also with those foods are you have just instantly put them into this magical space that you know, they're on this pedestal to be eaten when you've achieved your goal. You know, so what happens? So we deprive ourselves. We feel miserable. We can't wait to get there. And then we binge and we go crazy on all those things that we've denied ourselves. So no, there is no diet that works. The only long-term anyway, the only thing that works is when you change your behaviors. You change, you know, the reasons why you're reaching for that food. You change the choices. You know, you make those healthier choices. You get your portions under control. You reevaluate what you're using food for. You know, and when it's all coming from that, you know, if we get rid of that, just how we can have a dysfunctional relationship with people, we can have a dysfunctional relationship with food. So when that relationship becomes healthy with food, where we use food as delicious fuel, that is supposed to be enjoyed, but for the right reasons, that's great. That's great. That's when we, you know, those are lifestyle changes that you can live with and use for life.
Well, when it comes to nutrition, is there a difference between eating to be healthy versus eating to be fit?
You know, the difference I would say is, you know, depending on what level of fitness you're going for, you know, you if it's a matter of eating for energy or eating for strength or eating for, endurance, you know, for a specific sport or something like that, then the choices would have to change. But I think most of us, for the majority of us, we're eating sub-foods. I mean, these crazy foods posing as food for us. You know, we can't even read the ingredients, you know, and this is what we're ingesting and this is what we're taking in. So when you're eating for health, you know, you have to imagine if something can live indefinitely on a food court shelf, let's just say, or if these are ingredients that you would never find in a cookbook or your grandmother wouldn't use to make any of her wonderful recipes she used to make with you, you know, chances are it may not be best to eat it. You know, so when we think of health, you want to have just a wide variety and I always suggest a colorful diet, because even take a look at fruits and vegetables. The difference in color suggests different nutrients that you're getting from each different food. So even just in having a colorful, diet based in fruits and vegetables and lean protein and healthy grains and all those kind of things, that's health. That's eating for health.
Well, how about individuals who somehow always get started, going great, and always get stuck or ran out of steam as soon as they get started? You know, what are your recommendations for someone like that?
You know, a lot of times the reason why we run out of steam, it could be a couple of things. Maybe we weren't clear about our motivation to get started in the first place. You know, I can't tell you how often I'll see somebody and they'll come to me and say, my husband isn't happy with my body. That is just horrible motivation right there. If anything is going to make you resent your partner, it's something like that. So it's got to come from your desire and what you want. So if the motivation isn't clear, how we talked about in the beginning, if you don't believe it can happen and you can't clearly envision this as a new way of life and see yourself there and feel it and taste it and touch it, you don't really believe it, you're going to run out of steam right there. If you don't have a plan, you know, if you just sort of go into the whole thing saying, you know, I'm going to wing it. Well, that's that example we used before about getting to the airport. You know, you didn't pack your luggage, you have no ticket, you're just winging it. Well, you're not going to get there. If it doesn't fit into your lifestyle, if it's something, it could be a wonderful thing that, you know, a friend of yours is doing, but if that wouldn't work within your lifestyle, you know, that's just not going to work for you. And you know, also if you're not ready, you know, you could say, well, yeah, I really want to do this and I want to do that. But if you're not ready, it's not the time. It's just not the time because it won't happen.
Well, that's interesting. We have a question here from one of our chats.
Great.
It's from Dahlia. And it's, I have a problem with picking up lot of processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
Comments on that.
Her name, Dahlia?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hi, Dahlia. Well, you know, a lot of times the reason why we pick up processed food is because of time. We say, oh, I have no time. So we just grab something. It, you know, so often it just comes down to pre-planning. So if you know that time is an issue and you know you don't have a lot of time, well, how can you, you know the situation is going to come up where you're going to be short on time when it comes, let's say, to lunch. So what can you do to pre-plan for that? Does that mean packing something the night before? Does that mean shopping earlier in the week or planning all your meals ahead? Does it mean making healthier choices, giving yourself an extra half hour when you're at the supermarket so you can read those labels? And if you're looking at all of this weird stuff that you can't even pronounce, maybe those aren't healthy choices. Does it mean spending more time in the produce section and really, you know, spending filling up the majority of your wagon there? So much of it has to do when a lot of people, when I get that a lot about the processed foods, and so much of that is just based on a lack of time and habit. So it's really a question of creating a new habit and pre-planning, because you know if it is a lack of time, if you had a lack of time yesterday, chances are you're going to have a lack of time today. So how can you make better choices and prepare for it? And it takes taking a look before the situation happens and planning for it and bringing stuff with you, because chances are what you have with you will be way healthier than if you didn't plan for it and you have to get something from the outside. I hope that answers your question.
Oh, I'm sure it did. By the way, it's Dahlia.
Dahlia. Okay.
Yes, I apologize for that. But that brings me to the question now, because, you know, you look when you go to the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
and it's fascinating because you've got so many stuff to choose from. And
mm-hmm.
and believe it or not, I mean, you know, it's, for example, a simple example would be, you know, you're buying something, technically it's a diet thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got to watch, if it's low in sugar, it's going to be high in sodium.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at something that's high in sodium, that's low in sugar, you know, it's mm-hmm. like you never could quite get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the, I guess, appropriate balance for something like that? Because obviously, you know, we don't have all the time in the day, you know, to read everything. And it's what is your recommendation on in terms of, you know, a balanced approach to something like that?
You know, I'll give you a real, just a simple overview. The first thing you want to do when you're supermarket shopping is you want to shop the perimeter, and that means the outermost aisles. That would be your fresh fruits, your vegetables, that's your dairy, that's your meats, your fish, the things like that. So, and you want to think, basically, if something grows, it's going to be better for you than something that's made in a factory. So right there, you know, that's one thing to consider. You know, the other thing is you want to take a look when you are label reading. You don't have to read all the ingredients, but if the first, usually the way labels go is from highest to least amount of concentration. So if you're seeing sugar, let's say, as in the first position or the second position, you have to know that the majority of that product, the majority of you know, the composition of that food or subfood is going to be made of sugar. So you want to make sure that sugar is just lower down on the list. And you know, sugar is very confusing because sugar can be called a lot of different things. You know, we'll see high fructose corn syrup, or we'll see anything ending in OL is a different form of sugar, maltol, sorbitol. You know, so many different forms of sugar. So you want to take a look, you know, at label reading that way. But you want to go within the aisles and the innermost aisles, you're going to find things that are just That's where a lot of your processed food comes from. But you can still make greater choices. And the closer something is to its natural source, take, let's say, brown rice over white rice, or 100% whole wheat bread or whole grain over white bread. You know, what happens is when something is stripped of its nutrients, it's just not nearly as healthy for us. So you want to stay with things that are closer. But within those aisles, there's still ways to get healthy foods, you know, making healthier choices. Staying with the whole grains, beans, nuts, seeds, those are all found within those aisles. And really limiting the amount of high sugar and junk food that we're taking in. And, you know, keep in mind also, we take our kids shopping. That's just dangerous right there. You know, things are just so strategically placed at their eye level. And the packages are so bright and colorful and inviting. So you really want to just be careful what you're bringing in. As it is, a kid's diet with kids' diets, one-third is nothing but junk food.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I've made a change several years ago. I would think about 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
to brown rice,
mm-hmm.
whole wheat flour, pasta,
mm-hmm.
and somehow my body have adjusted in the sense of liking the taste of it, because the initial taste is, you know, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
But the food that I've cooked, the recipes that I've used, and these are the same food recipes that I've eaten over the years, and somehow it tastes pretty good. And actually, it tastes in some ways much better because it gives you a different flavor. But having said that, I mean, I do treat myself eating, you know, the other stuff, you know, whether
mm-hmm.
it's chips or nuts and stuff like,
mm-hmm.
like that. But bottom line comes on to not to do it in excess, and of course, if I eat heavy on Monday, then I sort of like trickle it down to the rest of the week. And I, this is a personal thing, I use this thing, the concept of averaging things out.
Mm-hmm. Which is great, but I'll tell you that you do that is wonderful, because a lot of people have that may as well attitude where if they go overboard, let's say on Monday, then they look at it, it's that all or nothing, that diet mentality. Well, I did this, I may as well do this. I did this, I may as well do this. So that you're able to cap it at the day or at the meal, best case scenario. You go overboard on that meal, put an end to it, put a period at the end of the sentence, over and done with, move on. There's not one positive thing that can come from berating ourselves when we overeat or eat unhealthily. So, but
you know, I've eaten like a whole can of nuts,
mm-hmm.
cashews, the honey roasted cashews in
mm-hmm.
one sitting. But that doesn't mean that I do that every week. You know,
right.
I only do that once every 3 months or so to kind of like, okay, get it out of my system.
That's it. And then it's out and it's over and done with. And that's fine. And that's fine if it's over and done with.
Yeah.
And then mentally, if it's out of your head as well. It's when that guilt stays with us. And it's when that, you know, we haven't given ourselves permission to enjoy any food. And that's when we overeat and that's when we binge. It's that, you know, we don't have that healthy relationship with food. But I'll tell you, you know, you just had me think of something. When, you know, how you said now you're having brown rice and things like that.
Right.
So often when we're trying to make that transition, I know, listen, I have four kids, and to try to feed them and get them happy eating healthy food, it can be quite the challenge, and I'm not the best cook in the world, but very often what I'll do is just trickle in some healthy food in the unhealthy food. So let's say cereal, you know, breakfast cereal. And if they, you know, they want, let's say, the sugary kind, well, they have to mix it, let's say, with a healthier kind, one with more fiber, one with just, you know, not as much sugar in it. Or even with the brown rice. I want them to have, let's say, more brown rice as opposed to the white rice. So maybe I'll just have mixed the brown rice with the white rice. And what you're doing is you're gradually introducing that taste, and then you just, you know, the concentration increases as the other one decreases, and that's a way to go about it as well.
Delilah has another comment about one. Our problem is that we use food to celebrate,
mm-hmm.
to commiserate. I mean, that's very, very true. How can we get out of that pattern?
You know, food and emotions and relationships are so intertwined that very often we can't even tell the difference. And we, not only do we celebrate with food, we show our love with food. You know, we all have those relatives. They've made something special for us. And to reject that food is almost to reject that love. You know, so we eat it because we're accepting that love, right? And then we pay the price. What we need to do is recognize that, yes, you know, there are certain foods that are so important to that celebration. And enjoy those foods. That's okay. But here's what I would suggest. Let's just take Thanksgiving, for example. So let's say typical Thanksgiving is stuffing. That's something that's going to be on the table most probably. Or pecan pie. I mean, these are hugely high-fat, high-calorie items. So
yeah,
what
I love pecan pie now.
Right. Well, who knows, right? So what you want to do, though, is let's say those are things that are traditional to that celebration. You should enjoy them, but there are ways to go about it where you don't pay for it. One would be, first of all, a smaller portion, right? And the second thing would be where you're concentrating on that taste. You're getting the full flavor, texture, you know, the comfort that it was served up with, all of those wonderful warm feelings you're supposed to feel when you're eating that food. But, you know, even more so than that, what you want to do is to give ourselves permission for that. Let's say there's something else on the table, like just rolls or something, something that you could have at any other time. Here's where you want to eliminate. You want to eliminate the stuff that you can have any other day to give yourself permission to truly, truly enjoy what that holiday is about, the special foods and treats and all those things for the holiday. And that's how you make room for it, where it balances. Does that answer your question?
I'm sure it does. It answered my question, certainly, because I think it makes a big difference when you are able to, you know, to average it all out. Because a lot of times, you know, like Delilah was saying here, you know, in our in her family, they celebrate babies, promotions, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, you know, balance that? And it's just a matter of us making a conscious approach. And again, it comes back to that law of averaging.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are days that. You know, people ask me, are you on a diet? I said, no, not really.
Right.
And so what happens is that you get in a situation where, you know, you don't want to get on a diet, but then you eat everything, but not in excess.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the kind of thing that, you know, substituting things. Drink one less, you know, carbonated drink and then drink water or something.
Sure, absolutely. And that's why, you know, people are so, and this is why diets fail and diets don't work. It's because, let's say, a perfect example, celebrating a baby shower, I think you mentioned, or something, or a baby naming or whatever it is, or any sort of celebration. When we're on diets, you know, very often I've had women I've worked with, they say, well, I have this party coming up and I can't go because, you know, they haven't made a deal with themselves, and they haven't given themselves permission to enjoy something, and they haven't figured it out beforehand. But when you do, there's no reason in the world why you shouldn't go, why you shouldn't enjoy these foods that are special to this occasion. Once you've pre-planned for it and you've made allowances for it, enjoy. That food should be enjoyed because that's a part of our lives, and it's an important part of our lives, and there's no way why we shouldn't be able to have it. We just need to find a way to make it work. And like I said, if you work on the portions, if you pre-plan for it, and if you give up what's ordinary and you truly enjoy it, that's the way to go.
Well, let's talk about From Mom to Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What is that program all about?
You know, it's funny because after I read the book, I had so many readers. It was great because they would write me or call and say, we love the book. We're not ready for private coaching. What else do you have? And I really didn't have anything at the time. So from, you know, the people talk, you listen. So from there, Mom to Wow was born. And what that is just if you've read the book and you want to go deeper, it's my CD program where it's each of those six programs in depth. So I'm teaching, you have a full transcript, you have charts, checklists, because we all learn in different ways. So some like to read, some like to listen, some like to do. So From Mom to Wow gives you the option to do all of that.
Does it have anything for moms that just got pregnant? I mean, I know you have certifications in prenatal and postnatal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that I know, you know, women sometimes have a problem about that. Oh, my God, my body's changing.
Right.
You know, what's going on here? What can I do? And I'm very conscious. And you mentioned something about just now with one of your clients coming in and telling you, well, my husband, you know, doesn't like my body. I mean,
right.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's, you're talking about added pressure there.
and I do, and I address that in my weekly tips when you sign up at themojocoach.com, and you get weekly tips. There are some in there. And in Lifestyle Fitness Program, I have tips in there. But that's something that if you are pregnant, that is such a wonderful way that we can work together because that is. I mean, things change mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Everything's changing. So it's so great to have that option to work with somebody. And besides, I've been through it a bunch of times. So I know how to go through it healthfully and effectively. And you know what? Labor and delivery, that's an endurance event. And the better shape you are going into it in every way, the better you're going to handle your delivery and enjoy your delivery, and the faster you're going to bounce back. So there are ways to go through it and feel great.
And how about postnatal? You know, I mean, a lot of times people equate themselves to the celebrities, that have given birth, and you're talking about within weeks, all of a sudden she appears with her latest dress on TV,
right,
and look like she's never, you know, been pregnant a day in her life. You know?
Right, right. And it's very hard because the average woman doesn't go through that. But and then what happens is we look, that I was talking about that earlier on, where we look at everybody else and, you know, we don't measure up, and then we start getting, you know, we're so hard on ourselves. So, you know, there are ways to definitely get your body back. And the truth is, and I've done this with hundreds of women, your body can look better than it did before you were pregnant. It depends, you know, where is that on the list of priorities? If it's high up on that list, you'll get that body back and it could be even better. There are ways to make it all work, and there are ways to work that with your baby, where it's a great, wonderful, you know, wonderful bond that you can have with your baby while you're getting your fitness back and while you're getting your body back. So ways of doing it all, but it's got to be according to your lifestyle and your values and what's important to you.
How about women that are just recently separated, divorced? I mean, that's a traumatic experience for them in some ways. I mean, that is, of course, not of their choosing, that is, you know,
right,
because there are women that decide to get a divorce, and they, you know, usually the person that initiate those kind of things have the least amount of recovery period, so to speak.
Well, and I tell you, I've worked with so many divorced women and even, widowed women, and what happens is, first of all, it's a huge, huge hit to our self-esteem very often and to our emotional health and, of course, as far as our relationships go and our level of stress. So often it's a matter of, you know, yes, we may say, okay, well, I want my body to look great because I need to get back out there.
Right.
But the truth is you need to heal, mentally, emotionally, as far as your relationships go. You need to reassess things. You need to go, you know, get that relationship back together with yourself before you go out there and see what you can do with someone else, because the better you are, the better you're going to be for everyone, and the better quality person you're going to attract, because that's what you're sending out. So it's a question of how can we make you your absolute best so you can feel good, and coming from there, everything better. You know, everything better exists. When you're coming from a place where you're not your best, you really don't have much to give.
That's very true. What is the most common theme that you encounter with your clients who seek your help?
You know, the biggest thing I'll get is, in a nutshell, their lives aren't working. It's just not working. Whether it's not working because they're so stressed, it's not working because they don't have the relationships that they want, it's not working because they feel horrible about themselves. They don't feel worthy. That's the underlying, feeling of them all. But it's just that their lives aren't working and they're sick of it and they want to find a way to make it work so everything's better.
It sounds to me, since, you know, we've talked about this for almost the last 45 minutes or so, to an hour, the most important fitness that one can go through is actually the internal side, because the internal side is the driving side for the external.
It is. You know, if you picture planting a garden, you know, if you picture planting that garden, you picture two gardens, you know, one you plant on dry, hard clay in the shade and you don't water it, you know, you can expect very little to grow. If you plant that garden on rich, moist, fertile soil, you love it, you tend to it, you you stick it in the sun, it's going to grow, thrive, and be beautiful. So we can look our best and feel our best and live our best when we really, truly tend to our, you know, mental, emotional, spiritual health as much as, you know, our physical health.
What is the number one thing that someone can do immediately in terms of making this paradigm shift, in terms of taking charge, taking control of their life?
Decide that they're worth it. And especially with moms, we put everybody ahead of us, and we take care of everybody else, and by the time it's our turn, there's nothing left. But if our goal is to give our best, well, then you have to give our your best to yourself and do that first. And we're so conditioned to think that that's selfish, but it's not, because the better you are, you have more patience, you have more love, you have more whatever it is, compassion, whatever the emotion is that you want to give it to yourself. Then you have it to give to others. So take care of yourself, and you'll feel better. You'll be in a much better position to be better at every single thing you do.
Well, what's the most enjoyable thing about coaching for you?
I tell you, it's just putting women on that path. And it's not by anything I'm doing. I just give out tons of inspiration and ideas and information, and to see them empowered to make changes in their lives that just light them up, and then it benefits and affects everyone within their care and reach. That's why I'm here. There's no greater thrill for me. That is just, if you say, like, what a rush. I mean, that just thrills me.
You're very passionate about what you do, and you're speaking from personal experience,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's unique about you yourself in engaging, you know, your clients. How can someone get in touch with you and engage your services?
Well, they can always sign up for all kinds of free stuff at themojocoach.com, but I have a brand new membership program, which I'm thrilled about. It's themojocoachonline.com. And not only is that all kinds of free stuff you get, but it's my least expensive way to work with me privately. So it's so exciting because I get to coach, I get to interact, and it's just, it's a monthly membership program, and you just sign up for as many months as you want, but we get to coach privately, privately, and then in a group session, and you can really get your job done in the most affordable way I've ever had. So I'm thrilled about that. That's themojocoachonline.com.
What else can we expect from you in 2010?
Well, I just launched this program really just, I'd say, a week and a half ago, so that was just to start off the year. And just, I would say, if you're ready, if you're truly ready to look, feel, and live your best, I'm ready for you. I really am. I just want to coach and work with as many women as I can, because there's no reason why we're walking around not feeling our best, not looking our best, not living our best. This is the life we have right now. There's no time like right now. Just to be the woman you want to be, and to be your personal and professional best. And it's whether it's becoming fit, healthy, happy, so you're better with your family, better professionally, to pursue a passion, an interest, just do it. Just let's find a way to get yourself in that position so you can go out there and just do what you want to do.
What do you think that people have to do to sustain this? Because a lot of times it comes back again, there's always the thing about starting over,
mm-hmm.
and you get going, and then you somehow fall by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
In the clients that you have dealt with,
mm-hmm.
what's the success ratio in terms of them sustaining the long-term goals that they're wanting to achieve?
I would say things will derail you, but just, you will have setbacks. Use them to learn from them. If you learn from them, it will propel you forward. If you have a setback and you use that as an excuse just to stay where you are, it's just a choice you're making. And just as easily as you're making that choice to get stuck, you can make that choice to get unstuck and just move past that already. We stay within what's familiar, what's comfortable. We stay within our comfort zones. Right past that, yes, it's a little bit fearful, but that's where all the good stuff is. So if we just trust that we can, we can move past, even if it's a little bit scary, trust that the best stuff is waiting for you, and just, yes, you had a setback, but learn from it and pick yourself up. You will become fit, healthy, happy from the inside out, and become whatever you want. The only thing stopping you is you.
Well, we're coming to the end of the show. Do you have a recipe for living that would you like to share with our listeners this morning?
A few things. I would say we're so hard on ourselves. give yourself a break. You know, we speak to, I think I have an article out, it's would you speak to your friends the way you speak to yourself? You know, no, we wouldn't. We give others love and compassion and generosity and joy. Give it to yourself, you know, so be easier on yourself. Have a little bit of fun and trust that you know the answers. We're so busy handing over our power. We don't need to. I mean, maybe you need some information. You need a little bit of guidance. You need some inspiration. You know the answers. You know it. We just don't trust ourselves because we've given it away for so long. Stop giving it away. We know the answers.
Well, that sounds great to me, to all our listeners. Thank you very much for listening this morning. Please join me next Tuesday morning, January the 26th. My guest will be Amy Mack. She is currently the head trainer for Camp Gladiator in Dallas, Texas. Amy grew up being a multi-sports athlete focusing on cross-country, volleyball, basketball, and track. She's a graduate of University of Texas with a degree in Spanish and received her master's from University of North Texas. Amy has been coaching track and field since 2002 and has been an elite running coach and a personal trainer to many individuals here in Dallas area. She is a NASM certified personal trainer, corrective exercise specialist, and performance specialist. She is also a certified personal trainer of Cooper Clinic Institute. Please join Amy and I as we will be discussing a new year, a new Gladiator U. For additional information about this show, future shows, and for my weekly recipes for living, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. And thank you for listening this week. And Debbie, thank you again, and have a great day.
Thank you, Johnny.
Take care. Bye-bye.